Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you. Thanks for tuning to it. I'm Jeff. There's Tom. There's Director Matthew. You are you. And as always, we appreciate you joining us, listening to the program on 93.3 Real Talk Radio. And if you're watching on War Chant TV, hello, everybody. Good to be with you as always. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, celebrate, ring whatever bells there, do all that stuff so that others can find the show. That'd be a good thing. You know what we get to do today? We get an opportunity in hour number two. I think it's going to be hour two that we do it, right? We can solve for the future there and go through ACC records. I think that's what we're doing, Tom.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's a loaded rundown today. We've got a great show for you.
You're supposed to. You're going to do the host thing, huh? Yeah. Great show lined up for you, everybody. Make sure. Yeah, go ahead. Let's do what's on the ledger. I know Adrian Crawford's going to join us this hour so that we have an opportunity to look at the revamped basketball roster. It's June, and there's not a lot of FSU-related content right now. So that's a perfect opportunity to kind of get caught up with Adrian. I always like talking to him anyhow, and his insight is always greatly appreciated. He's going to join us at 1:30, and we'll go kind of talk about this roster. Ham's in a good mood, man. I've seen him twice now in the last few days. Again, I've mentioned on the show that my son's at the basketball camp, which concluded today. And I think he feels like they've had a good offseason, and that was seriously in question, you know, obviously. So all of a sudden you look at this roster and you kind of, all right, I can see where this might work. This might be all right. They're going to be better than they were a year ago. It looks like that.
So yesterday there was a tweet, and if you go to at FSU Hoops right now, you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a graphic, and it shows a picture of Leonard with a quote, a block quote next to him. It's got a black background and white font.
Mm.
And I'm scrolling through, and I see it, and I go, what the hell? Is he retiring? What's going on here? Because it looks like an announcement of serious nature. And what it actually is Leonard saying that this group is exuding the seminal spirit, the unconquered spirit.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
And they're pushing about buying tickets for next year. So it's actually a pitch for season tickets. But if you just look at that graphic as you're scrolling, you go, oh, bleep, what's going on?
You got nervous.
Doesn't that look like something? That looks serious.
We're having to live at a time. By the way, this is kind of a spinoff topic, but it is true. And I thought about it a lot this week because of the conversation centered around FSU baseball. And one of the things that kind of came up was, you know, what are they going to do, right? Like, a lot of the people on the chat, a lot of people online, a lot of people on the message boards on warchant.com, people in my email inbox, you name it. All, you know, everybody's got an opinion about what that baseball season represented, what should happen to Mike Martin Jr. Should he be back? Should he be retained? Should he be fired? Do they need to make changes on the coaching staff? Which kids are staying? Which kids are going? Transfer portal stuff, right? So no matter where you stand on that, this isn't me giving an opinion on that right now. I've talked about it before. But that's out there, right? So you have a coach, no matter what, let's just say he's retained. You have a coach that, at the very least, enters next season firmly on the hot seat, okay? And then you consider, which is the omnipresent elephant in the room, and that is the importance of this upcoming season for football. And how many times have we talked about this? I mean, it's a daily, at least in passing at some point, it's a daily reference that this season is of vital importance to Florida State. And to Mike Norvell and his staff moving forward. Whether that means he's going to be fired if they have a bad season and don't win 7-8 games like we speculate, or that he's just set up to be a dead man walking. I kept using the phrase dead man walking. I said that he wouldn't get fired this year, but that, look, bottom line is, it wouldn't really matter. He would, in essence, have been fired if he has a terrible season this year because he won't be able to recruit. Won't be able to recruit. Recruiting's already going, average, so it'd be a problem, okay? So then, that's two, right? That's two coaches that you're talking about, hot seat and or going to be dismissed and or not real sure about the future for their employment here at Florida State. And then there's what you just brought up with Leonard Hamilton. And almost by definition, you know we're at the end of his career, right? Because he's going to be 74 before the season starts, and even though he looks 40, and he's still viable, and he's been great for us, and we love it, and we love him. The reality is the future is most of what we look ahead to is a time that's not going to feature Leonard Hamilton as the head coach at Florida State. Like, he's a short timer. I mean, I don't assume Leonard Hamilton's going to be coach until he's 85, nor should he. And I also don't think that that's – look, I don't know what he's got left. What, 2 years, 3 years, maybe? I don't know. So, but again, by definition, he's at the end of his career. So if you think about the big three, we are at an interesting time. Now, you marry that with what we've brought up regarding this transition – from the way things used to be done with the boosters to the way things are done now with the autonomy given an actual athletic director, that to me, I would say it's akin to, and for the first time since, what Dave Hart had, right? So since Dave Hart, we've had puppets for athletic directors. That's not a knock on who they are. It's just the reality of their situation. They didn't have any real authority, okay? Now you have an athletic director who's not only got real authority, but he's going to have to do it because your president is not actively involved in athletics the way previous presidents have been.
Hear, hear.
Yeah,
all right.
Agreed. But the point is, he's going to rely on the athletic director that he hired and some other very important people who have sway, especially depending on the amount of money they write in checks and that kind of thing for the university. But you get it.
And the very separate, not intertwined at all, NIL collective. Completely different. They're not even FSU fans. They just chose Florida State and Tallahassee to be the collective area. So, and those people too.
Right. So,
in no way, shape, or form, but yes.
Yes. So the point would be that athletic director, Mike Alford, I ask you this question. Would this be the most exciting time of your life or the most stressful or both? Or how would you see it? Because you have asked for this. This is what you wanted to ascend to. You're an athletic director. Now, he's been an athletic director before, but this is a real university. He's an athletic director in charge of big boy stuff at a big boy institution and is in the middle of, or it's reached a fork in the road, at the very least, right?
At the same time that the sport that brings in the most money has reached a fork in the road.
So here you are, every day you walk into that office, you got a lot to do. You got a lot to think about. You got a lot to think about right here, right now, and the future. And, man, you got to vet that on a daily basis. I'm sure you're in constant contact with people that you trust implicitly who have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that their opinion is worth gauging. You know, you've got anybody who does their job really well certainly understands and reflects upon and does self-scouting to know enough to know where their weaknesses are and surrounds themselves with people who are excellent in those areas so that, you know, you can go to them for advice. And so these conversations have to be, daily. About navigating these waters, because you potentially could have to make 3 head coaching hires in the next 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it's going to trend. I mean, you've already had to make a couple of big ones for athletic programs that have done some things around here.
Well, one was made for you.
Yeah, yeah, one was made for you.
And then the other one was obviously kind of a no-brainer with Lonnie.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm also talking about women's basketball, too. He's had to make that change as well with Brooke taking over the reins to that program. I'm just saying, you know,
yeah, it's a decision.
They say in a presidential term that the first 100 days or first 120 days are critical. Like for Mike, I think Michael, excuse me, because Norvell is Mike and Michael is the athletic director. The first 500 days, about a year and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. Because this academic calendar year that's upcoming, 22-23, to your point, you've got the big three. You've also got a little bit of pressure, not nearly as much, but still a little pressure to prove that you chose the right person to be the head coach of the FSU soccer program. Now, they've got a lot of returning players, and they've got a chance there. But everywhere you look, the football-only facility, fundraising for that, fundraising against NIL collectives, making sure that boosters and funds for buildings are still a priority in the grand scheme of things so you can break ground and progress in all the areas that you want to progress. There's not an idle minute, I don't think. This is not an 8-hour a day job. This is probably 12 hours a day, mostly every day, and maybe it settles down in a year or two, but maybe it doesn't because the college football landscape is changing so quickly.
Yeah, that part of it's hard for all athletic directors. And it is it's interesting time for all of them. But I tell you what, man, just thinking about you work to put yourself in a position to get the job that he got. You work hard to do that. And he's been all over the place, right? Just to work to that place. And all roads have led him to this moment, to here. And not all jobs and all situations are created equal. I mean, you may say athletic director, but it's a very different role in some places than others, and your responsibilities in the given moment may change. But, man, at this place right now, if you like the action, you got the action. I mean, here we go. Every day you've got to be thinking, because you got to be prepared for these moments. Leonard could walk in tomorrow. I don't think he's going to, but Leonard could walk in tomorrow at 74 years old and say, I think I'm done. I'm ready to settle down. You know, I had the Achilles injury, then I had the hip surgery. I feel a little beat up, a little weary. I've worked hard. I think I'd like to enjoy this time with my wife and my family and spend the next 20 years, whatever it's going to be, traveling or whatever. He could very easily do that, right? And you better have a plan in place. You better have a transition plan in place. You better have names that you're turning to. You're prepared for that moment. If Mike Norvell goes 3-9 this year, which God forbid, you've got to decide how you're going to handle that. What are we doing? What am I doing for fundraising? What am I doing? Am I firing him before I want to? What am I doing?
Right, and then the other side of this, I was talking to Ira today, and it was brought up on Wake Up, which is, well, what if he goes 9-3? Because now you've got to negotiate a raise. Because he's gone from 3 wins to 5 wins to 9 wins, and you've got to negotiate that. So something's happening, I think, with Mike Norvell. That's relatively serious for the athletic director to be in the middle of one way or the other this December.
Constantly.
And you've got to be ready for all of that. You've talked about it before, where as a head coach or an athletic director, you have to have a drawer. And in that drawer is a list of names.
A list of names. And you're constantly updating it because those people reveal more of themselves, good or bad, every day they're here. We all do. Now, you know, you find out, oh, well, the coach that I really thought I'd lean on if something like this went down, he's had back-to-back terrible years. He's not a viable name right now. I couldn't bring him in even if I wanted to, no matter what I think of him. And then there's another guy you maybe never would have thought of, and he's on the rise. He's all the rage, and you could maybe have access to him. You're like, okay, he's a guy. So you're constantly moving and shaking with this stuff. And right now at Florida State, it's an interesting, fascinating time.
Well, and also you got to make sure that every chair is pushed in. Because if it's not pushed in the athletic offices, then somebody's not doing their job. Make sure, hey, it might not be your job description, but you better push that chair in.
Yeah.
So you've got to lord and micromanage over everybody that's underneath you.
But I think to answer my own question, I guess it's rhetorical in a way, I would tell you that if you've wanted to be an athletic director, then you've got to love this. I mean, you have to love it. You better. I mean, this is a lot of fun. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of stuff going on here, man. And it's all of vital importance to a passionate fan base and obviously a storied athletic department. You cannot screw this up. I mean, this is what's going to determine whether or not you're the longtime athletic director, right? So, that part is fascinating. And I also wonder, and I've wondered this from the get-go, because we do this when we see changes in other athletic departments, when we see an athletic director come in and take over a new job, and he comes in, let's say, to Miami, like it just happened, or somebody comes to take over at Florida, and Foley's gone, and you're thinking to yourself, all that stuff, right? Well, how does that impact them? What are they going to do? One thing that we always bring up is that if there are coaches in place who the fan base is unsure of for one reason or another, right? They just don't feel, they don't hate them, but they don't love them. If they weren't chosen by that new athletic director, they're inclined to lean towards making a change, typically, because it's not their guy. And you're being saddled with somebody you weren't part of the hiring process to vet. So you now you're kind of, you know, a lot of times you see athletic directors like, doing an okay job, but you know, don't let him screw up because it's not my guy, right? I mean, they don't say that publicly, but behind the scenes, that is a common theme. And I don't know because I've not talked to him specifically about this, but he's worked side by side because he was here with Norvell, and I think they have a good relationship. But I wonder if in his mind it's like, well, he wouldn't have been my guy. You know? I mean, all this factors into the way we view whatever result we get this year.
Yeah, and it also factors into 50-50, which way do you push? Because there are going to be situations as an athletic director, any manager will deal with 50-50 or close enough situations where you have every right to move on or you have every right to double down and bet on the person that is in trouble in the moment. And so what you're talking about is if he has those private thoughts where, I don't know, that I would have gone in this direction, well, that might push 50-50 the other way and say it's time to make a change.
Yeah, of course.
But maybe he loved him. Who knows?
Absolutely. I don't know the answer to that. That's why I made sure I prefaced beforehand, like, hey, I don't know how he feels about him or not. He's certainly not going to say anything publicly that's going to let you know other than I back my guy. I mean, you have to say that publicly. And maybe he does. And I hope, you know, listen, we want everybody pulling in the same direction right now. I mean, the only way anything's going to get done or that Florida State's going to overcome and get to where they want to be, you do need everybody on the same page here. So let's hope that's in place as we start this season, obviously, and what can be remedied, what can be solved for, what can be answered for, it's all right here. It's contained. Now go have the season, and the season will tell us the rest.
Right, and you're in a position this year where, and the next year after that, you're not really empire building per se. You're trying to put yourself in a position so you can build an empire. But right now, it's just you're trying to survive more than thrive. We talked about that in our own circles, in our own careers. Are we in survival mode or are we trying to thrive? Which one is it? And I think right now for this athletic department, the right idea is how do we survive, border on thrive, and then once there's a reorganization of the sport, because it feels like it's so close in the grand scheme of like a college football history book. It feels like it's on the next page. Mm. You turn that page and there's going to be a big change. How can we get there or be ready for
position
when that comes
to be in a good spot?
Yeah, to thrive again.
To absolutely thrive again. Yeah, well, I know one way, and it doesn't take a Mensa to figure this out. You can start by winning some games. You don't have to think too long and hard about what needs to be done in the immediate to change your fortunes for the better and to put yourself in a position to thrive, as you just noted, if things do change radically. Winning seems to solve for all of those things, generally speaking. So stop having sub 500 seasons would be the immediate answer. Can we stop finishing seasons in which we have more losses than wins and we're at home watching those that go to bowls because they won enough games to do so?
Do you think he took an overhead and brought Mike in on the old school overhead and broke that down in a chart? So for example, if I had a W column and an L column, and let's put five hash marks here in the W column and seven
over here. That's not what we're looking for.
Which side
that
has,
ratio isn't going to get it done.
Which side has more? And Mike's the only person in the room. Mike? Right. The L column has more.
You know what L stands for? That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. You got it, Mike. Good job.
Loss of revenue as well. Mm. A lot of losing.
Jobs. You name it.
Now, if we took that chart and moved a couple of these hash marks over to the W column,
it changes your outlook completely. You know, you wouldn't believe how much it changes the outlook of things moving forward. It's unreal.
Therefore, the solution is W is greater than L equals dollar signs.
Yeah, there it is. That's there. I'm glad we had this talk before the upcoming season. There it is. You want me to take a picture of this so you can have it with you at all times? You go ahead and take that. You know, you look at, like, I like to get up in the morning. Let's say I'm on vacation or, God forbid, I'm on a business trip away from home. Like, in July, we'll go to Charlotte, you and me.
That's right.
And the War Chant crew.
Radio Row.
Here we come. Anyhow, we'll do all of those things. But, you know, if I've been gone for a few days and I miss my kids, I like to start the day, I'll look at my kids. I'll look at it. I've got certain photos with the family that just make me smile every time I see them. Could be a birthday moment for my son or something. And I'll look at it and I'll smile. Mike, why don't you keep this little chart that we just did here together? And if you need motivation, you look at that and think about this very productive talk we had.
In fact, I didn't write it with an erasable marker. This is permanent. This is a Sharpie I wrote it with. So here it is. Just hold on to this transparent sheet.
So Florida State had, like, the vast majority of their roster leave for a variety of reasons in basketball. 8 of the 13 players, in fact. That's a lot. That's a massive overhaul, right? That's a mass exodus. And so you may be saying to yourself, well, who the hell? Who's back? Well, you know, Caleb Mills is back in Cleveland and Worley and McLeod and Fletcher. But then there's a whole bunch of names you don't know about and you haven't had a chance to talk about. Or what does that roster breakdown look like? Well, Adrian Crawford, former Seminole great himself, will join us in mere moments, and we will talk to him about this and get his thoughts on the incoming transfers, the incoming freshmen, of which there are 6, those guys that have left. Unfortunately, Malik Osborne is one of those guys. I was hoping he'd come back. John Butler, we know, kept his name in the NBA draft, all that stuff. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Always good to be with you. It's also always good to glean insight from my man Adrian Crawford, former Seminole great. You hear his stylings oftentimes as he breaks it down for you as a color analyst. And he's going to join us right now because there's been a massive overhaul with this Florida State roster. There he is. I can see him. That's good stuff. Hey, Adrian, how are you, brother? Good to see you.
Good to see you. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. All right, let's talk about the team. Let's just dive right in. Listen, have you had a chance to kind of really wrap your mind around 8 players leaving from this basketball team out of the 13? That's like that you never see that. And I guess I'll preface it and say this. You also never see 8 guys leave and then turn around and assess what's coming in and think, I think we're going to be better off. And I don't mean that as a slight to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, when you see that kind of change, normally you're pretty worried. But I think there's reason to be excited.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Jeff. I think that, you know, normally when this happens, because we have a different landscape, I think that what we can't do, and you know this, I mean, you talk about all the different landscapes of sports, is that we're no longer playing against to the current rules, and we can't evaluate based off of kind of, Jeff, even the world we grew up in. Mm-hmm. And so you know, over 20 some odd years, you being in this game and, you know, and evaluating, you know, sports across every spectrum. I mean, look at it right now, look at golf. You know what I mean? We got dudes leaving the PGA, you know, to go over there. And you know, so I think it's different. But yes, to answer your question very specifically, I think this team is going to be better. I mean, there's no way around it. Like you said, it's no slight toward the guys who left. But here's the truth about it. Like my father used to always say, if my exes are more talented and more athletic than your O's, I'm going to win 9 out of 10 times. And the truth be told, like, you bring a lot of talent in with these 8 guys.
So let's start with the big name that I think got everybody excited this week when we saw it happen. And all of a sudden, everybody went, oh, man, so who's this guy? And why am I supposed to be excited about a guy named Baba and all that? What do you know of Baba Miller? What have you seen, and what can you tell us about what you think he'll be at this level?
Yeah, Baba Miller, I've got a chance to watch, you know, honestly, I got a chance to watch some decent amount of film on him. And here's who he is. I mean, it's kind of comparing to somebody. I'm not saying he's going to be at this level. But I mean, he is Jonathan Isaac in the sense, maybe not Jonathan Isaac defensively, but he's farther along offensively than Jonathan Isaac was. I mean, he came here on his visit, they measured him. He's 6'11". He's got a 7'2", 7'3" wingspan. I mean, literally he is a prototypical today's 4-man, can shoot it from 3. He's athletic. I mean, he can pass the ball. I mean, he's a European kid. And so, and I think he is going to be, I mean, he is a huge get for Florida State. I mean, he is one of the most talented kids that's put his foot on this campus.
Do you think, is he big enough to finish around the rim?
Yeah, no, he really is. That was the thing. You know, when you get European kids, you're always worried about, right, their skill, are they athletic? But if you watch a lot of his film, I mean, my man's catching transition. I mean, he's dunking. I mean, there's one actual game I was watching. He threw him a lob. My man comes, you know, out of nowhere, reverse dunk. And so he plays above the rim. He can run. And you know how that goes. And he was doing that in a European kind of, you know, a little bit more slowdown. You know, here at Florida State, you know, we're out and we're to the races. So I think he's going to have all the ability to do that and really fit in.
Good news there. And I bring him up because he's part of that six of incoming players, freshmen, if you will. Go through and highlight any of these guys. We can't go through every player, but if you want to talk about the Corrin kid, the Jackson kid, Green, Bembry, you name it. Name the guys you're excited about in that group that's coming in.
Yeah, I'm going to first start off with Chandler Jackson. Chandler Jackson is Trent Forrest. Now, when I say that, I mean this. He's a winner like Trent Forrest.
Okay.
I mean, the kid just wins. And he's one of those kids, I'll do whatever you need to do to win, you know, how Trent was. I mean, you need a stop, you get your stop. You need a rebound, you get your rebound. You need a bucket, go get your bucket. The kid, I mean, he really processes basketball at a high level. And so I think he's going to help a ton. I actually think as well, you know, when you really look at Green coming in, I mean, Green is a more upgraded PJ Savoy.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, a guy who can shoot the blood out of the basketball, but he's never really played. He's always played like more of in a system, but now in how, you know, Florida State plays and where, again, it's a lot off read and reaction, that's why these guys are prepared for the NBA. I've been watching him and the practice they've had him. He's really flourishing. I mean, again, I think as well, you know, when you really look at a Jalen Gainey coming in, I mean, you got a kid with experience, defensive player of the year. And that was one of the things, too, last year, you know, Jeff, is like, you can press all you want to and pick up and pressure the way we do, but we're really good when we have rim protectors. And I think he's going to be a rim protector as well. And I want to go back really quick, and I'm going to say this. A guy who I think – who has probably made such an incredible improvement – to me has been Nyheim McLeod. If he stays healthy, I mean, he is going to be an outright force.
We got excited about him, and then the injury happened, and we were robbed, Adrian, because you and I, we talked about it. We were excited about where that was trending. Yes. So I'm not surprised to hear you say right off the bat, like, hey, we got a lot of guys coming in that we're excited about, but there was a guy here who was well on his way, and then the injury happened. So that is exciting. You brought up Jalen Gainey. He's part of the incoming transfer. He's the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year. He's a big shot blocker. There's a rim protector you're talking about. And also, I was excited, and we saw this guy. I want to remind Florida State fans, you know, of course, you were there, but Darren Green Jr. can shoot the lights out. He's played a ton of basketball, the UCF transfer. I mean, you can't really overstate how important it is to have played a lot of big-time college basketball and had success. That's a plug-and-play guy. That's a guy, like, with these incoming freshmen, and you kind of, well, we'll wait and see. Everybody's a little different. There's a lot to transition. When you got a guy that comes in and he's played as much basketball as he has, you know you can just start him. You can play him right now, and he's ready to go.
That's it. And I think that, you know, I always try to remind, you know, when I talk to people is that, even though, you know, this team was remember, we were the number one team in the ACC until I was, you know, I'd say biblical calamity hit this team and everybody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. But we got guys who've got a lot of minutes. And now when you plug and play from Gainey to Green, guys with significant minutes, along with the guys who were here last year from Worley and Matthew Cleveland, again, ACC Sixth Man of the Year, ton of minutes, you know, McLeod. I mean, you're going to now, and then even, you know, Cam Fletcher and Caleb Mills. I mean, you got a lot of guys with a lot of basketball, man. So I 100% agree with you that having these two guys, especially with Green, you got guys with minutes, and that is always a big deal. Playing and allows your freshmen to come along. We saw last year, Jeff, that these freshmen got thrown in the fire, and you know, and it was hard for them. It was hard to get thrown playing. You know, the way we play, trying to play 30 minutes a game, 35 minutes a game. That's just it's insane to try to do that and play the way we play.
I think you've kind of hit on the answer that you'll need to maybe give here, but I want to ask you because we have two questions in the chat, and they're kind of both centered around defense. Swiss Irish writes, perimeter defense by chance from these newbies. Definitely a step back from previous seasons, and he's talking about last year. We didn't play well out on the perimeter. You know, this was an outlier watching this Florida State basketball team last year. They didn't defend. They really did not do a great job of defending, and we know that's not part of the culture here. That's not how they teach it. I think you just answered this some, but if you want to add to it, feel free. Basically, they had so many injuries at so many different spots during the course of the year. They had to play guys that weren't ready to play, that didn't understand the system, frequently were out of position because of it. I don't want to answer for you, but am I, you know, if you want to take that further, go ahead.
No, you know, you're spot on. And I think, too, what we have to understand is that if you watch us play, we pick up full court.
Yep.
And then on top of that, offensively, when we're really clicking, you know, we're 225 passes. You don't get the rest on the offensive end. So that's why you always see over time, guys can't play, you know, over 30 minutes. Just maybe like a Trent Forrest and a Terrence Mann, you know, here and there. But last year, when we got Matthew Cleveland and Worley, I haven't played 30 minutes. And you just can't sustain. I think last year, this group, now they have the physical ability to be incredible defensively. But I also think it's predicated on a system. And if you don't know where to be, and again, you know this from switches and everything that's happening, the game is complex. It's not just, sometimes we think it's just, oh man, just keep somebody in front of you. It's like, it's not that. It's because you're switching one through five, and then it's got to know, hey, when people are running, they're going to slip. I mean, we started in Miami. Miami started making adjustments in the second half, and when you have freshmen, they start slipping that screen. They can't adjust that fast. They've already seen it this year. So now when a team goes to a slip quick because we switch everything, they're going to know how to adjust already because they literally had to see it over and over again. And so this team will be absolutely better. And here's the other thing. When in doubt, you've got one of the leading shot blockers in the country in Ganey, and then you've got Naheem McLeod behind you, who's going to be so much better. So, because let me tell you this, shot blockers cover up a multitude of sins on the defensive floor.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's reason to be excited. And it's weird because as we vet it and we talk about it now, while we were going through it, and I say we from afar, these guys were playing on the court and having to go through it. While it was happening, it was hard. It was the school of hard knocks. Yeah. It's tough to watch. It's frustrating to watch. But as you come out the other end and you survive it, and then we add these pieces that we're talking about now, Adrian, you now see what a huge benefit that was to have gone through it. Like, it's, you know, it's the rainbow at the end, right? You kind of, well, that was less than ideal. We didn't have the season we wanted to have. But by the way, these guys have been through it all now.
Yeah, they have. And here's what's helping now. You know, these guys are going to be going on their tour. I think they're going to, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're heading over. I can't remember exactly. They're going somewhere. In the age,
they're traveling, yeah.
Dubai.
Yeah.
Gosh, I couldn't remember. They're going to Dubai, and here's the thing. So now you're getting all these new guys with an opportunity with the other guys to now play games. So they're going to be way ahead.
Yeah.
You know, their practices and things like that. So this group, I mean, they're going to come in, I think, ready to go. And here's the one thing I've been super impressed with. I mean, Matthew Cleveland, you know, sixth man of the year. And the one thing that we knew with Matthew Cleveland is this. He couldn't, you know, he doesn't shoot the ball. I've watched him. Here's what the kid's doing. Every morning he's in there, and I'm talking about 500 shots where, I mean, it is form, it is working on it, then he's coming back doing it. The kid is a machine at getting better, and I'm watching him in practice. He's shooting the ball better. And he's got several more months before the season starts. And again, I'm not saying when he starts the year, my man's going to be shooting 50 from the three. But you know, once you start getting game reps in with the work you've been doing, it starts to hone in. So if he gets to a point where he's just shooting 35 from the three, where he's just a genuine threat with already his ability, I mean, that's why a lot of NBA guys are really, really high on him, because they see him, you know, in that kind of same vein as some of these guys from Pat Williams to Terrence Mann.
Last thing, and I'll let you go. I've just wondered about this because I valued him so much, and really we've seen for Florida State, it's tough. Guys who do good work and put in the time have opportunities, and yeah, we've seen this assistant coaching staff rated and get these opportunities. And while we celebrate those guys, I mean, we were so happy for Gates, and now see why, right? How do we replace him? How do we replace those guys? Because they weren't just good coaches. They were also coaches that did a great job in recruiting.
Yes. I mean, again, I say this. I mean, it was bittersweet for me. C.Y. is my guy, you know. I mean, he became a really good friend of mine. And so, but I love it for him. I love it. He's out there with Dennis. Dennis is a good friend of mine. Again, they got a Florida State gang out there. You know, Michael Fly, who's a Florida Gulf Coast, who got a really raw deal at FGCU, winning 22 games and you get fired, which is unheard of. He goes to that. I mean, they got him out there on staff. They got a great group. But I hate to see FGCU, but here I will say this. Adding R.J. Barsh was a great hire for Coach Ham. Young guy, incredibly energetic. A guy who actually does a good job recruiting as well. Was out there in was at Boise State. Mm-hmm. And actually, they had a really good team last year, and he recruited a lot of those players there. So I think he's going to step in. But here's what I always try to remind people. Leonard Hamilton is Chief OG, right? Like, I mean, look at it. The dude just signed a top international prospect over Gonzaga, who was in the Final Four.
Right.
Thinking about mistaken. Or, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like he just, like, we can never go past the fact of who Ham is, right? And so I think, again, there was a hard loss for CY. I mean, we're already seeing it right now. They're already replacing and they're already doing it. So I think they're going to be fine. And I also think that, you know, again, there's such a strong culture here at Florida State. And that's what Bobba Miller said. I mean, when you talk about it, you look at his guys, like, look, what we have is proof. We have proof now. Scotty Barnes, Patrick Williams, Terrence Mann, Trent Forrest, Fiondu Kamengele, Scotty, rookie of the year. People want to come here now because we develop pros. And not just guys who kind of get to the league, but guys who have sustained ability in the league and who NBA guys love. So that is such a selling point. So I think we'll keep that going.
It's so exciting. It's a great opportunity, and I'm glad you did it, to remind everybody what Leonard Hamilton is, man, a legend in the game and beloved in the coaching profession, beloved by players and coaches alike, and, of course, media. He's still got that enthusiasm. I just talked to him yesterday. My son's in his camp right now. Hey, it's always a pleasure, Adrian. It's great talking to you, buddy. Thanks for the insight, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right, take care, Jeff.
All right, you take care. Adrian Crawford does a great job as a color analyst for Florida State basketball. He was a good player here. I've been on the air so long that I covered him when he was on. I covered him while I was on the air when he was a player here. And that was at the end of the last century.
Yeah, his redshirt season was 97. He played 98 to 2001.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on the air for all of that.
Yeesh.
Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. You know, it's so crazy that you played this song. That's off of Check Your Head. That's the Beastie Boys, if anybody's wondering. Anyhow, it's crazy that you played this because, now think about how random this is. Buddy of mine called me yesterday that I've known since middle school. And we
Lewis Morales?
No, wasn't Lewis Morales. It was Stephen Rafferty. And
what's up, Steve?
Yeah, there you go. And so we were catching up. It's been a couple months and just been too long. Long story short, as friends do, you know, you just get right back on it, right? Like, it's like no time had passed whatsoever, right? And we're laughing and talking, and he references a guy that we went to high school and middle school with that I haven't heard from or about in 30 years, right?
Lewis Morales?
No.
No, okay.
Different guy. And this guy I didn't really care about at all, but I knew him. And, you know, I've not spent a single day of my life thinking about him.
We've got those. Everybody's got those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then you hear the name. You're like, oh, how's old Slappity Doo? How's he doing?
And you don't really mean it.
Yeah, no, I don't wish ill will. He's not a bad guy. He's just, whatever. You know, we weren't close.
It's like, instead of how are they doing it, what are they up to?
Yeah. So he proceeded to tell me. But anyhow, the point would be one of the last times I saw that guy. Boy, I am an open book on this show. The last time I saw that guy, don't get nervous.
Get ready, Matthew.
Don't get nervous.
Kill the feed.
We were going into a concert. It was the Beastie Boys. It was that album. It was for Check Your Head. And it was at Janice Landing. Anyhow, Steven and I were talking. Well, and I won't. That
they
guy,
played that small of a venue?
Couldn't believe it. Makes no sense. To this day, I don't know why the hell they did that.
Wow.
Yeah. And we went to that show, and it was incredible. What a time. What a great time.
Yeah, except for the fire marshal,
Oh, no. Well, listen, and they got shut down late because they went past the time for the noise ordinance.
Yeah, the curfew.
But we were there, you know, we were right up front. And I could have reached out and grabbed Ad Rock, could have. Anyhow.
He could have passed the mic to you.
He could have indeed. Ba-dum-bump. But that guy was there, and we didn't hang with him, but we saw him in the parking lot. And you know how, and this is all I'll say about this. He was getting popped for smoking weed before going in.
Yep.
But this is how things were so different, right? That potentially was a ruin your life moment for him, unlike it would be today where they would just be like, oh, whatever. You know, probably wouldn't even.
It was a civil citation,
yeah,
if that.
Yeah. And I remember thinking as we walked by, because he was talking to the cop, and I remember thinking, oh, it's all over for John.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
All right.
And I was like, oh, halfway there. This is going to suck.
John Morales?
No. And I was like, this, that's a toughie. And all I remember is that he was, Steven, my buddy, was like, oh, no. And he was worried about the long-term impact of this problem, right? And I thought to myself, oh, no, no, no. I was more concerned. My man's going to miss the start of the show. That's And we just laughed. We were laughing. Because he was like, oh, what's he going to do? I mean, he could get kicked out of school. I'm like, oh, no, he's going to miss the first song. They're starting in like 5 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, there are those groups of friends who are acquaintances, and you hang out enough that you know them, and they know you, but you're still, you're not going to call each other and say, hey, let's go catch this or that.
Right, yeah, no.
And when something happens to them at a college party or outside of Doak or whatever, yeah. Right, you go from, oh, no, to, this is our moment. We've got an opportunity. Like, you know, it's almost like he is the great offensive guard in the situation. You're like, all right, we could do what we need to do now. It's a shame, but we move forward.
The origination of Maintain on this show has to do with that very thing regarding entering Doak Campbell Stadium. Because for the better part of 20 years, and you know what? I think people have been able to heed the warnings. The Cat 5 Maintain on this show has worked. It's drawn attention to a real problem that is omnipresent every class that comes through Florida State. And that is, they're so excited to be away from home for the first time. This is all of us. We know what this is like. You have to learn the hard way. Everybody does. And you get so amped up that you're in control of your life. Finally. Choices are yours. Good and bad. Kids tend to make bad choices on the regular, especially as it pertains to alcohol consumption. And not only quantity, but time frame. These two usually don't marry well. And I got so tired of seeing people face down in the muck walking into Doak Campbell for the biggest games that I was like, we've got to do something on this show. We got to start talking to these students. You got to maintain. Get some pasta on your belly when you get up for these big games.
Ramen if you have to.
If it's an 8 o'clock kick, if it's a night game, you got to understand you're in it for the long haul, baby. This fine if you want to join your friends for the tailgate that begins at 9 a.m. or whatever it is.
Yes.
I mean, I got it. That's fine. I'm not telling you not to go. I'm telling you to be aware.
Right. Plan
that
for the nap.
That game kicks off at 8.
Don't be too proud to take a nap. If you want to go hard in the paint early on in the day, then make sure around 2 o'clock you get a nap in. You're up by 4:30 and you're right back in the groove. Everything's going to be okay. But I would rather, if you got into your 20s, if you're an upperclassman in Florida State, that you don't need that option because you know better. Don't start till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then you're good. This is something that I would think has to be issued for undergraduates that are traveling to New Orleans.
Oh,
get it out of your system on Friday and Saturday. Get it out of your system.
And then treat
Sunday with respect.
Tom is asking me about Cat 5 Maintains and when was the last time that I declared one. There hasn't been one of great significance in a long time. There hasn't been one where I say, okay, this feels on a Tuesday like we need to get out in front of this. Like this is, I could just tell we got to get out in front of this. And I'll tell you right now, part of what I miss the most, and everybody's nostalgic for the way things were when they were in school and all that. I don't tend to fall into that trap too often. I recognize that there are plenty of things about the current situation, meaning technology and everything else, that are better than when I was in school, for example. But one thing I do miss, and this has to do directly with winning and losing football games. One thing I do miss is that when you're good and you've sustained a level of great, not good, but great for a long period of time, as in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, there's an energy to home games and an anticipation for those games that begins the week of that Monday. It starts that Monday. And when I used to do shows at AJ Sports Bar and Grill, which is no longer here, I remember one of the things that I so thoroughly enjoyed was I'd get out of my car knowing that I was going in on a Libations Friday to do the show. And sometimes I'd go over there earlier in the week to talk to John and Jason Jesko, who owned it, and about things that they were promoting, whatever it might be, right? And you could just feel it on Tennessee Street. The whole way from the strip all the way down to where AJ's was, all the strip beginning, like, let's say, you know, Poor Paul's all the way to Ocala Road, right?
Good choice.
We haven't had that in forever. I want to feel that. I want to feel that energy, like, oh my God, I'm going to be swept away.
And then maintain.
Yeah, and then maintain. Have to make choices. Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with me.